Okay, so hi, my name's Alex Donaldson.
Hi.
And I'm here to conduct this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 9th of July, 2009. And if you could kindly state your full name, your age, if that's fine, and where you come from.
Right, my name's Neil Raymond Sutcliffe. I'm 50, honest. And I come from Preston in Lancashire, although I am actually from London, originally.
So how did you initially hear about the project?
I heard it advertised on Radio 4 when they launched it. Would it be January, February? And I thought, that sounds rather good. I'd come down to London 2 years ago for my mum's 75th. We took her on the London Eye, so we had a lovely family time. And as we were walking around, there were these odd statues on the tops of buildings. So we're going, what on earth is that? You know, are people standing there? And then we realised there were statues, and that was one of Anthony's earlier projects. So we thought, aha, Anthony Gormley, he's odd. If he's doing this, it could be interesting.
So, and what inspired you to take part in the project?
I just enjoy doing odd things. For the Commonwealth Games, I took part in the Jubilee Baton Relay when that was going around the country. So I thought, that would be unusual. And, you know, I thought the idea of standing on the plinth was interesting. Sounds a great idea at the time. And so I thought, yes, go on. And the chances are such that I'm not going to get on. So, you know, I put my name in, you know, you lose nothing. And I got on.
And what are you planning to do with your hour?
For the hour, I'm decided to read from the Gospels about Jesus, because it's something that's important in my life, and I thought, you know, well, what better message could I give to the people in the square than to let them know about Jesus? How to do it was another debate. People were saying, oh, well, you'll be able to stand up there and preach, and I thought, well, it's not really about me. It's not what I think. So I thought, let's just use the text and read from that, and then people can hear it, and it's up to them. It's not sort of based on what I do. It's the one that... Let the words speak for themselves, I think, is the way it was we described it.
So what role does Christianity play in your life?
Well, basically, it's my raison d'etre. I mean, I'm involved in church, but obviously Christianity affects the way you live your life throughout the day and the things you do. The hope you have, you know, you have the confidence that, you know, life is just not about the three score years and ten that you have. You know, there is a lot more to life beyond it, but life now is so much more meaningful because you're living, you're caring for people, you know that you're not just a random number, random dots in the huge universe. You're someone special. People are here because God made them, and that, I think, is such an empowering message for people. It makes life a lot better.
And has it always been integral within your life?
As I've gone through life, yes. I made a commitment just towards the time I left school, and it sort of affected my life since, and the things I've done. So yeah, it's great stuff.
Sorry about that, I just had to stop due to noise problems, but we have resumed. So you were just saying about what kind of role Christianity and religion has played within your life.
Yeah.
Is this personal to you, or is this within your family?
Well, very much within the family, because obviously I married a member of the church who is very committed. We educate our daughter. I mean, it's quite fascinating at school. If there are any religious questions, they seem to go to ask her because, oh, you go to Sunday school, you'll know the answer to this, won't you, Abby? It's quite weird that, you know, people seem to want to know things, want to know what the Christian views is, but they don't, you know, it seems to get sidelined and marginalised. And that's why I thought, you know, something like this would be great, because it sort of brings it to the forefront that, look, you know, it isn't just something that bubbles along in the background. It sort of, it appears and surfaces every so often, and it is meaningful. And I mean, you've got, 2,400 people. There's got to be a few Christians who would feel that, come on, it's a good opportunity to spread it, as indeed the lovely ladies at the moment looking at female genital mutilation. I mean, there are so many issues that, you know, people need to be informed about.
And what kind of, this is quite a general question, but what kind of role do you think Christianity plays within our society today?
It's hard to say, to be honest. There are, so I'm doing my little quote, sorry. There are, in quotes, sort of Christian values that apply to quite a few things. But if you actually speak to the people involved, they'll say, well, we're doing them because they're right, not out of a driving Christian force. I mean, a lot of the laws in the country were initially founded on Christian principles. I mean, the concept of caring for people, loving your neighbour, all these things come through from Christianity, but they have been swallowed up, I think, by other ideas. And I think one of the biggest problems that Christianity has is it's all about giving people purpose. And that, I feel, is disappearing in people's lives. There is a lot of hopelessness and, you know, people just not knowing what life is all about. And I think material possessions, a whole variety of things that people have, don't give them the comfort and security that knowing that they are loved by a creative God does have. And I think that makes a big difference. And the lack is a staggering difference.
And what are you hoping to kind of come away with? What's your kind of ultimate aim to project and your ideas you want to project upon people during the hour?
Well, as I say, all I've doing is just reading extracts from the gospel. Suddenly realised as I started to put it together that an hour is going to be difficult. 50 minutes with the changeover. How am I going to get it all in? And because it's chronological, the gospels, the key thing, the end of the gospels, is about Jesus' death and resurrection. So I need to get that in. So I've got to make sure that I've got enough space from all the wonderful gospels, all the wonderful miracles, the parables. I want to do a lot about the events of Jesus' birth, because I thought, well, everyone knows that. Everyone hears about it every December. So if I read that, people can get switched on saying, hang on, what's he talking about? I recognise some of these ideas. And then they might sit and listen to what he talked about when he talked on the Sermon on the Mount. Again, a lot of it well known. And there's a wonderful passage that hopefully I will finish with, which John's Gospel ends with, virtually ends with. And it's as though someone said to him, John, why are you writing this Gospel? And he basically says, well, look, there are loads of things that Jesus said and did, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and believing have life in his name. And that is the idea of the gospel. That's what I want to try and project from the words that I select about Jesus, so that people can sit there and take it seriously. We've set up, well, there is a website set up called thisisyourbible.com. And what I've done is I've taken a page on that, put thisisyourbible.com/plinth. So with the publicity, hopefully if people want to know more, they can go, oh, just click on that. There's a bit about why I'm doing it, but also there's a lot more about the Bible, so that people can take their interest in the Bible, well, take any interest they have in the Bible further, at whatever level, because, you know, they're the words of life, as Jesus said.
And what kind of reaction are you met with normally when you kind of are engaging in Christian...
Polite derision, I think. You know, people sit there and say, yes, that's very nice. You know, you're very not condescending. I suppose condescending is the sort of word. You know, that's very nice. You know, if you want to believe these sort of things, that's fine for you, as long as it doesn't affect, you know, as long as it doesn't affect us. And I mean, to be fair, it does affect them, because hopefully by the way I live makes an impact on how I deal with people. But, you know, the idea of commitment and responsibility. I mean, one of the things that I'm doing with the young people at the moment is looking at the views of science and the views of scientists, whether they are in conflict or are harmonised with religious ideas, particularly from the Bible, from the Bible. And everyone turns around and says, oh, if you listen to all the scientists, they all say that, you know, everything's sorted, it's all a done deal, there is no God. And then when you actually start reading it, there's a wonderful book called God's Undertaker, which basically shows it isn't, which you know, an Oxford scientist puts together you know, how he and a lot of other scientists can look at the world and say, look, there is clearly a design behind it. You know, there is an intelligent causation, I think, is the way they want to avoid intelligent design, behind the universe. It makes sense if you understand that the beauty of the way the universe is, the beauty of the way the Earth is because there's a cause. And so many scientists do actually believe that. You wouldn't believe it from the press coverage, but you know there are certainly a large minority, I think would be safe to say, who are quite happy to recognise that there is something behind it. And you get the feeling that those on the slightly more extreme wing who are trying to sort of hype up this gap between science and the Bible are those who are scared of the responsibilities that it would give them. And you know, if there is a God, it makes a difference. If there isn't a God, that's fine, you can do what you like. And so that is the big dilemma for people. And I think the challenge of, hang on, if this is true, is too daunting for some people, which is a shame, because you know, it would, if they could overcome that feeling, it would give them such a boost in life.
Do you think that the science has a place within the Christian institution?
Oh, very much so. I mean, this is one of the things that we're spending a lot of time, particularly with our youngsters who are coming through, because obviously they're dealing with a lot of it at school, at university. We've got various science lecturers within the church, you know, who, you know, that is their life, you know, and they're turning around and saying, well, look, I see no conflict between what my science shows me and the God I read of in the Bible and what the Bible says about life. There was one of my friends actually while I was at university, she was actually doing postgraduate research biology, and so everyone was going, oh dear, biology, you know, that's the one that everyone goes into because they want to prove that God doesn't exist. And she goes, the amazing thing is, the more you go into it, the deeper you research, the more you see of the hand of God in everything that you get to grips with. She says, the amazing thing is that the people around her who were atheists couldn't see God in the biology that they were studying. That amazed her more than the fact that they felt that, well, why should a scientist believe it? She said, well, that's what you would expect. You wouldn't expect them not to. So it's brilliant.
And in a kind of day-to-day life, how do you find it with non-believers? Do you find that quite a barrier?
Not really. I think you generally treat people as you would like them to treat you. Similar amount do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So I'm not going to go out of my way to antagonise people. I think that's the safest way of describing it. If there are things that I feel I would need to challenge, if someone was doing something that I feel, hang on, that's not ideal, I would challenge them. You might be regarded as possibly a bit prudish, but you know, generally you find that if people know where you stand, they want to agree with it, but I think they're respected and will, you know, they'll know, oh, right, sorry, yes, Neil's around, we shouldn't do that. You know, so you do get an acceptance from people who know you. And I think that works well.
And what do you ultimately want to take away from today?
Well, hopefully the contents of my stomach. I'm terrified. I will feel satisfied if I get to the end where I want to do, when I want to get to do. People take note of it. People don't. A bit of jocular heckling I probably won't mind, but you know, hopefully if people recognise that it's serious, it's important, it's great fun as well, but it's, you know, and just to get through the hour and see, you know, see the impact of people on people and survive.
Great. Well, do you have anything else to add?
No, I think I shall see if I can cope and go and get
great. And, well, thank you so much.
Hey, no problem.
Thank you.